stone mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion called Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armored with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs, a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders, and the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and the shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted out to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now down to verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to stand against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." Saints, I want to speak to you today on the topic, Giant Slaying 101. Giant Slaying 101. Every year, English dictionaries put out a list of words that have been so pervasive in usage that now they get added to the dictionary. Something that has come out of popular culture that we say so much that it has earned a spot in the dictionary. There's usually a list of top 10, but then every year there's the number one word. In 2016, one dictionary put up fake news. Another dictionary, post-truth. In 2015, the top words were swipe and clean eating. And in the Collins English Dictionary, the number one word a few years ago was binge watch. Binge watch. That's when you watch a lot of television. That's when you watch at least 4 episodes of a series in one sitting. And some of y'all can do more than that. And this practice of binge watching has been significantly aided by the delivery systems. HBO, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon actually will release a whole series at one time. So you know it's coming. And some of y'all get ready. Say, "Don't call me, right? I'm going to order in. I've got to watch my show." And those of you who are hardcore fans will actually go back and watch the previous season to get ready for the new season, right? And if you're really, really, really hardcore, you have a party, and everybody comes together, and you get ready for this new thing. And the reason that we will watch a previous season again and again and again is because if it's a good story, we never get tired of hearing it. If it's a good story, we'll listen to it again and again and again. And so it is with David and Goliath. We love this story. We love this story because in this story, the little guy wins. This time, the little shepherd takes down the big giant. This ragtag army of Israelites takes down the big war machine,
and the underdogs defeat the army that's too big to fail. In this story, rock beats spear. This story is told so much that it's recognized in other stories. So, for example, when Dr. Bennett Omahu took on the NFL to prove against all odds that football was damaging the brains of its players, and he finally succeeded, we call that a David and Goliath story. When Ida B. Wells Barnett stood up and said, "Something has to be done about the lynching of black men and black women," and single-handedly started the work to bring awareness to lynching in America, her success is described as a David and Goliath story. When Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez defeated her long-term incumbent, we call it a David and Goliath story. We recognize the story, and we recognize the character of David. And David is like a symbol of hope. So if you were always the last one to get chosen to be on the team, you like David. If you are the parents of beautifully average children, and you were sick of all those people who put their kids on Facebook every other week, you like David. And if you know that you are not now, nor have you ever been, a member of W.E.B. Du Bois's Talented Tenth, can't everybody be in the Talented Tenth? Then you like David. David is the patron saint, the person who reminds us that it's not how you start, but how you finish. David reminds us that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the inside. We like this story, and we like David. And as much as I love it, and as much as I love David, there's something about this story that has always bothered me. Let's just think about it for one second. If God could use David, why couldn't God use somebody from the army who was already there? Now, stay with me, because we've heard this story so many times, we've binged on it so much that we have an answer to that question. We would say things like, well, God called David, and God anointed David, and David trusted God, and David has had experiences of God's power, and, you know, David has he's a man after God's own heart, and David knew how to worship, and David, wah, 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 wah. Don't get me wrong. All of that's true. But the way we retell the story may cause us to forget this one thing. There is no intrinsic quality that David possessed to make him different. There is nothing that David has that God didn't give him that would make him better positioned to take down the giant than anybody else in the army. Everything he has comes from God, even his birth order. He is remarkably human. Some things he gets really right. He was a great warrior, great politician. That brother knew how to worship. He got some things terribly wrong. You know, that whole murder, adultery thing. And he abused power, and he was not a great dad. Remarkably human. I don't think David is any different than anybody else who was in that army. He had success because God was with him. God worked through him. God worked in spite of him, just like with us. So here's my problem. David shows up to the battle to bring some stuff to his brothers, and he learns about the situation. And then, you know, he has that little thing where he says, you know, well, I was in the field and I killed a bear, and then I was in the field and I killed a lion, and the same God who helped me do that can help me take down this uncircumcised Philistine. You know, that whole speech he gives. When he said that, and when the soldiers heard about it, in my theological imagination, here is the question. Do you mean to tell me that when all the other soldiers heard what David said, that no one else in the entire army of the Lord of hosts thought to themselves, you know what? God's done some things for me too. You know what? Maybe, hey, if I think about it for a minute, God's got me out of some difficult situation. Maybe I can do it too. No one in the entire army takes that stand. Nobody even says, okay, David, if you go, I've got your back. Right? Nothing. So I have this question, and it's not a historical one, and it's not a question that's just simply some intellectual curiosity. I ask it because even though it happened in the past, today our world is filled with giants. Today, there are people gathering in our nation's capital who are unified by hatred. Today. Semi-automatic and automatic weapons are going unchecked, and regulations are being unturned one after the other. Today, our national leaders have forgotten that we as a country will be judged on how we treat the least of these. And we have forgotten that greatness is not a birthright. There are giants in our land, and we need La David and Davida and Daoud and all of the Davids to stand up. And I'm concerned because I believe that some of our would-be warriors have lost their way. I'm concerned that some of us have missed God's call on our lives because we were serving in the army of God. Wow. Stay with me. Let's assume for the moment everybody in this space is on God's side, all right? And that means if we were to all go back in time, that we could all be in the army of God. Statistically speaking, only one of us could be David. Statistically speaking, all of us, with the exception of one, are in the army. So we need to be worried less about what David did and what the rest of the army didn't do. Right? Statistically speaking, we have missed the mark. And I'm wondering if it is possible that some of us who are soldiers of God have been in the army too long. Maybe they thought that the goal was to get into the army. Maybe they thought, all I have to do is make the team. All I have to do is get onto the hill. All I have to do is cross the burning sands. All I have to do is get in the number. And they didn't realize that sometimes being on a team can slow you down. Sometimes we stay on a team so long, our behavior gets modeled by who's around us. We start worrying about what people are going to think or what people are going to say. You know, stones aren't real weapons. Come on. I'm afraid that when serving the Lord becomes our job, that we start to treat it like a job. So we have our hours, and then there's me time, right? And then we start telling God that the thing God wants us to do is not in our job description, right? You know, you pull out that contract and say, Lord, I don't see anything about giants in here. Look, it ain't here. We get so used to serving in a certain way that when the landscape changes, we are totally immobilized. So stay with me for a second. So Malcolm Gladwell writes about David and Goliath, and he says that the geography of the land determines what the battle's gonna be. All right, the landscape is gonna tell you how this thing's gonna go down. And in this story, we've got two mountains and a valley. All right, you've got the Israelite soldiers over here, you've got the Philistine soldiers over here. So we all know you don't wanna go down there first. So they're at a standoff. And Goliath offers the option, send one in, and let's see if we can make this work. The challenge for these people is that their army mentality will not fit this situation. Armies have their place. In Israel's history, God uses armies. But sometimes, God is going to need a warrior. So I want to first speak to those of us who are the young Davids, those of us who don't fit in and never are going to resemble corporate Christianity. If you are a young David, know that God formed you for a purpose, all right? And if you are that older David that is so much a part of the machine that you don't feel comfortable when God calls you out of your good for something that is great. Whether you're young David or old David, I want to suggest that God is constantly calling us. God is calling us from the fields. God is calling us from the army, all to special forces. And if you think you might want to prepare to be a warrior, then there are three things that I want to share with you. The first thing to any would-be warrior is this. You were training to be a warrior when you didn't even know it. You were training to be a warrior when you didn't even know it. David tends sheep most of his childhood. And he probably had no idea how much sheep represented the people he would lead later on, with their tendency to forget and their need to have everything right away or else they fall into immediate distress, right? He had no idea what God was preparing him for. But rest assured that wherever you sit today, God is preparing you for the next thing. You are in training, whether you know it or not. So I wonder how David felt when the bear came. I know how I would have felt when the bear came, but I wonder how David felt when the bear came. And I wonder what he said to himself. And more importantly, I wonder what you say to yourself when that crisis comes. Do you say, I can't believe this, this is the end? Or could we say, this is practice. This is preparation. You know, sometimes in football they have what's called two-a-days. That means you get up, some of y'all know because you groaned. You get up and you get ready and you go out and you practice for about 2 hours in the morning. And then you go home and you come back and you practice for about 2 hours in the evening. And you do that day after day after day. And some of our lives feel like I got trials at work, I got trials at home. Wherever I go, I've got a trial. God is preparing you for something. So when you can look at your difficulty straight in the eyes, look at that coworker for whom it seems like their sole existence is to get on your nerves, and look at them and say, God sent you to me for my practice, right? God sent you to me. I should be thanking you, because I've got something to learn. The challenges we face, the financial crisis, whatever it is, God wants you to learn. And so every day, ask yourself, did I get it? David learned in all of his situations that God is faithful. And that's all you need to slay a giant. Know that God is faithful. Second point that you want to have when you are preparing to slay a giant is knowing that your enemy has issues. Look at this story. Look at this story. The first part of the story talks about what Goliath looks like. There's a lot of attention to detail, right? What, how tall he is, how much his weapons weigh, all of this, what it's made out of. But the other thing about Goliath is he talks all the time. It's like, what is that all about? If you're a warrior, just go fight. No, Goliath's got to talk. He's got trash talk in the beginning. Then he's got to talk a little bit more in the middle. You know, then it gets quiet. He starts talking again. Then David comes down. He wants to insult David. Have you ever noticed in movies how bad guys have a need to have a monologue? Right? They could have destroyed the whole world 50 times over, but they got to tell their little story. Your enemy has issues. The reason that this person is doing what they are doing is because they're broken. The reason they are acting crazy is because they are wounded. Goliath is a big man. He is a giant of a man, but he is just a man. He is a creature of God, just like David, and just like the rest of us in the army who still don't quite know what to do. And when we can see the humanity of the people who hate us and see the brokenness of the people who stand and want you to disappear from the face of the earth, when you can look at them and see that they too are a child of God, just like you, and you begin to see their brokenness, then you begin to see that God may have called you to be a warrior to redeem them. To work for their redemption. Anyone who wants to destroy other human beings is not fully human. And so part of our work in training to be warriors is to be whole, so that we can bring the fullness of God's love into any space we occupy. Okay? Yes, there's a lot of talking going on, but listen to what's being said. Your enemy has issues, right? That's why Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you falsely for my sake, so that God can begin to do a work of redemption through you. Okay, one more. If you want to slay a giant, then you need to know that there's more than one way to slay a giant. Because we've been binge-watched the story of David and Goliath so much, we know the plot line. We know how the story's going to end, right? All you have to do is read the story, say a few words. The battle is not yours. Cue the shout, play the hymn, we're out. Right? We know the story, and we know we have the victory. But if you wait 1 minute, hold that shout for 1 second, and recognize that a big part of the challenge to the Israelite army is that when you get thrown into a war zone, you fall back on your instincts. You go back to what you know. So when we find ourselves in a crisis situation, what are our instincts? If this story is our model for warfare, and we find ourselves in battle, we're all looking around for David. Where's David? Where's David? Or maybe some of us think we are David. It's me. So what do you do when you find yourself in that situation? I want to suggest to you that sometimes the tradition itself can hold us back. Sometimes we worship the story and not the God behind the story. And we memorize it, right? We repeat it again and again and again. We memorize it. We get all caught up in the smooth stones. We talk about David. We talk about that slingshot. We talk about his brothers. We talk about Saul. We tell it again and again and again. But we forget it was God that made the whole thing work. And God could have done it with or without David, with smooth stones, or with some other thing. The tradition is not what David did. The tradition is God using you in a surprising way. The tradition is God calling an unlikely outsider David was not a member of the Alfred Street Baptist Church, and God used him anyway. We may find ourselves in difficult situations. We may find ourselves facing an enemy, and God is calling us to overcome our enemy, but maybe not like last time. Okay, I waited till the very end, but you know I had to get like a nerd reference in here. So, here it comes. Star Wars movies. In the Star Wars movies, if you notice, there's a pattern, right? The pattern is that the bad guys have some big ship, the Death Star. And the Death Star gets blown up and recreated more times than is reasonable. But anyway, the Death Star, this big thing that the enemy has, always has a little tiny flaw. And so something as simple as an X-wing fighter flying and hitting the Death Star in the very right place can make the whole thing blow up. Right? That's David and Goliath, right? And it's a pattern that gets repeated in the Star Wars franchise over and over and over and over again. Cue to the very last movie, The Last Jedi. In The Last Jedi, Finn is in a little ship, and there's this big enemy ship, and Finn decides he is going to sacrifice himself to take out the enemy. He's going to kill himself by flying into this thing and save everyone. That's what warriors do. And so he's doing this thing, he's almost there. The next thing he knows, his friend Rose crashes her ship into his and gets him out of the way. She messes up his plan. And when he comes to, he says, "What is wrong with you? What did you do?" And she said, "You don't defeat the enemy by killing him. You defeat the enemy by saving what you love." Rose out-Davided David. We may need to come up with a different plan. We may need to invite different people to the table. We may need to try different strategies. But know this, God is able. And if we trust that God has already prepared us for what it is that is coming, all we have to do is show up and be ready to serve. All right? Will you pray with me? Lord, we look around our world, and to be honest, there are times when we are afraid. But we know that you are a God who is able. And we know that if we look at the pattern, we know how the story will end. So give us hearts to hear your voice, to obey your will, and to serve you wherever you call us to go, and in whatever way you ask us to do it. And we will have no choice but to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.